Good morning. You may notice that we have a couple of prayer quilts here. Please take time after the service to sign the cards and tie a knot and say a prayer for each one of them. And now, if you would, please join me in an attitude of prayer. Creator God, celestial bodies are evidence of your infinite power and love. The earth, moon, and sun align perfectly to create an amazing effect. An asteroid streaks toward the earth and ends with a bright light and shockwave. Our solar system is ideally balanced for sustaining the life you created. Thankful are we for everyone joining together here to worship you, O Lord. Appreciative are we for those who glorify you by serving in your name. Grateful are we for those who seek to learn and follow your word. Thankful are we for those who pursue your truth and not their own. Blogs, news media, politicians, social media, and others proclaim the truth. Talking heads fill us with sound bites in this electronic age. It seems we have a better relationship with our devices sometimes than we do with each other. Lord, remind us that relationship together is relationship with you. Keep us from the path that focuses on our differences, so that we may focus on what we have in common. Remind us of our similarities and unite us in your service, so we show love to our neighbor and unite with you. Lord, make us aware of those who advocate hate and violence as they lead to chaos and separate us from your peace. Fill our leaders with your Holy Spirit that they become changed people, and open our eyes to see when they produce positive fruit. We want and need to be in relationship with you, our loving God. We want and need guidance from you, our merciful God. Keep us alert to your plan so we don't miss an opportunity to serve you. Keep us alert to those in need so we don't miss a chance to see Jesus. Some of us come to you with heavy hearts, dealing with loss. Others come to you in turmoil, dealing with the struggles of daily life. We all come in need of your compassion and mercy. Hear us now as we silently place our concerns with you. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word. We thank you for sending us the living word in Jesus Christ. Our lives are a gift, and we are blessed to be your children. Hear us now as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's Bible reading is coming from Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The ones who walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these will never be shaken. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. So we're going through a series right now that we're calling Let's Talk. And when we look at this series, you know, it brings to mind some different situations in our life. And back in 1993, I was hired by the most respected accounting firm in the world. The firm's motto was Think Straight, Talk Straight. And it was often the leader in establishing new rules for the industry and processes that those needed to follow. Our business cards, this was the coolest thing, they didn't even have titles. Because the day you started there was the day you started representing that firm. And it didn't matter if it was your first day or your last day, you represented the firm. The day I made partner was one of the proudest of my professional career. See, when I was in college, that was my goal. Once I understood what it meant to be a partner, that's what I wanted to do. And what really makes it amazing is that I was made partner at a firm that would not hire me out of college. I didn't meet their grade point standards. You see, this firm had integrity. It was one of the qualities that set it apart. So in this series, we are talking about how to approach difficult conversations. Now, if you think back a couple weeks ago, Pastor Sherry talked about the biblical way to address an issue with another person, and that was through Matthew 18. Last week, Deacon Loretta, Pastor Sherry, and I, we shared our Bible passages that guide us and ground us when we're in difficult conversations. And next week, Pastor Sherry's actually going to show us how to speak up regardless of the situation and give you the biblical basis for that. Today, I'm going to focus on integrity when you speak and how you talk with integrity in difficult conversations. Now, first we have to define it, right? So what is integrity? I'm going to give you a couple definitions, a scripture, and you know, we'll talk a little bit about it. So here's one definition. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. It's moral uprightness. And if you think back to the scripture that was read today, it fits that. It's being solid. It's standing up. It's thinking straight, talking straight. I found another definition that actually hit home with me even more, and this is, it says, the state of being complete, undivided, sound, or undamaged. It's being whole with God, being whole with Christ, being whole with this world, and it's the state of knowing that's where you are. Proverbs 11:3 tells us, integrity guides the virtuous, but dishonesty ruins the treacherous. So that's a quick overview of what integrity is. It's more than honesty. It's more than just saying the right thing. It's a state of being. I'm going to flip the coin now. What integrity is not? Let's look at that, because this is where I think, I'll be honest, I fall on a regular and recurring basis. First of all, it's not being clever and trying to trick the other side into coming to your way of thinking by using word tricks or guiding them in a way that isn't honest or showing integrity. In other words, it's not being manipulative. It is talking with truth, and it is talking consistent. Julian Treasure put together this short list. These things are not speaking with integrity. You should not gossip. Anyone here gossip? Okay, good. More hands than remembered their scripture. I'm not surprised. It's easier to gossip than remember a scripture. Judging. Me. Yeah, because last week I told you it is all about me, so I'm going to judge. Negativity. I'm going to keep my hand down for this one. I don't tend to be a negative person. Complaining. And when you're sick, by the way, you do complain a lot. And it's not intentional, right, Greg? Yeah, okay. Excuses. Making up a reason why I'm right and you're wrong. Excusing things away. Lying is not speaking with integrity, obviously. And the last one is dogmatism. I thought this one was fair. It's the confusion of facts with opinion. Greg, your prayer was spot on. So with all of that in mind, what integrity is and what integrity isn't, here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to think of a person you know, and it can be a public figure or someone in your life that speaks with integrity. And I want you to shout out their name. How loud? So I can hear it. That's how loud you have to shout it out. Who? Barb Lane. I agree. Don? DePiro. I don't know who Don DePiro is. Should I? Maybe. CEO of Lincoln Brass Company. Thank you. Anyone else? This should be easy, right? And when I asked a group of people this week to name someone, a couple came up, and I'll share those. Jimmy Carter. There's a man who speaks with integrity, and I can see exactly where they're coming from when they talk about that, the gifts and the approach that he takes. Thinking back a few years, rest his soul, Walter Cronkite. He made news believable, and he spoke with integrity. Someone brought up certain journalists on NPR because what they do is, even though they have their own personal opinion, they keep it in check and allow their speaker to share theirs. And the firm I mentioned back that I joined back in the 90s was founded by Arthur Anderson. Now, Arthur Anderson was the premier firm up until 2001 when it decided, through a lot of bad decisions by a group of people, that profits were more important than integrity. And the firm was indicted by the Department of Justice and no longer exists except for a small group of people that are winding up affairs. Here we are 17 years later. So integrity can be fleeting. And so when I look back at that firm, it hurts me to know that it lost its way. But it also shows us, I didn't hear anyone mention a current news person. I didn't hear anyone mention a current politician. That speaks volumes to me. So when we look at it biblically, and we look at people who speak with integrity, I'm going to start with Jesus, and then we'll talk about Paul. Jesus, in Matthew 21, 12 through 13, this is what happens. And this is integrity, although you may not agree with the method. Then Jesus went into the temple and threw out all those who were selling and buying there. He pushed over the tables used for currency exchange and the chairs of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer,' but you've made it into a hideout for crooks." See, we can be like Jesus. Doesn't mean you need to flip over tables, but we can speak with integrity and be direct with others. And so if Jesus is the high bar, which obviously it is, let's go to someone who came after Jesus and who was guided by his teaching and look at the Apostle Paul. In all of his letters, every one of them, whether it's Romans, which was mentioned today, Greg, or tried to, other letters, he spoke with integrity and it shows through. See, he knew what he was called to do. He was called to share the good news of Christ. And that was even when he was faced with injury, punishment, or arrest. He spoke the truth. He trusted in God when he spoke. And here's what it says in Acts 18, 9 through 10a. It says this, "One night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, 'Don't be afraid. Continue speaking. Don't be silent. I'm with you, and no one who attacks you will harm you.'" When we're speaking with integrity, that includes Jesus Christ being with us, the Holy Spirit guiding us. And it's not just focused on this world, it's focused on the bigger world and the world that God promises for us. So, how can we speak with integrity? That's really the question we have. I'm going to go back to Psalm 15 and read a slightly different version. I want you to hear this. Psalm 15, verses 2 and 3 says, "The person who lives free of blame does what is right and speaks the truth sincerely, who does no damage with their talk, does no harm to a friend, doesn't insult a neighbor." That's speaking with integrity. I know that I'm challenged by that. There are times where my reaction is not kind. It's not hopeful. It's not positive. It's basically, I'm going to attack. Because sometimes I feel like I'm being attacked, and rather than take a step back and check where I am, remember my scripture, I tend to then go back at the other person. I fail to speak with integrity when that happens. How can I speak with integrity? Jesus provides us guidance throughout the Gospels. In Luke 11, 37 through 53, so write this down, 11, 37 through 53, he condemns the Pharisees and legal experts. And when you read it, it's amazing they let him walk out of the place because he attacks them with words. But you cannot find fault in his words. He is correct in what he's telling them. He does it in a way that is at their level. They're the experts. So he comes at that level. And so in Luke 11, 37 through 53, he speaks with integrity while condemning the Pharisees and legal experts. And then in Matthew 19, 16 through 22, this is the story of him being approached by a man who says, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "Well, what are the things you've been taught? What are the greatest commandments?" And Jesus tells him this, "Don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And the man says to him, "Well, I've done all that. I'm there, right? What am I still missing, though?" And Jesus told him this, "That last step is to take all that you have and give it to the poor." And the man went away sad because he owned a lot of stuff and he didn't want to do that. See, Jesus looked for that one piece that was holding this man back, and with integrity, he told him exactly what he needed to do to have eternal life. He presented it to him, and it was rejected. Now, we don't know what happened to that man. Did he change his mind? Did he decide, "I'm going to give up all my belongings"? We don't know that. But what we do know is that Jesus is the perfect example of a man who shows integrity. After he was baptized, he went out into the wilderness for 40 days and was tempted by Satan. And Satan did everything Satan could to try to figure out how to break him, how to make his integrity go away, how to corrupt him. But see, Jesus was man and God at the same time. And yet he was tempted as we are tempted and never, ever sinned. See, that's the definition of integrity. Jesus is the only one who was without blemish. He was perfect. He was completely truthful, always showed a pattern of good works. And we can get there by how we speak with integrity. We can apply it in our life. See, integrity in our world today implies moral incorruptibility. See, it's those people who cannot be bribed or compromised because we serve God rather than humans. We are people who keep our word. We love those around us in word and deed. We are called upon to believe in God and follow God in all of our ways. And so our actions need to line up with this belief and this evidence that a trust in his way is what's best. Now, as you go through and you're attempting to speak with integrity, one time, one conversation may not fix the problem, because history shows us that sometimes you need to repeat yourself several times, try to find different words, because just saying the same thing over and over gets annoying. Trust me, I know. I do it on a regular and recurring basis. A friend of mine once told me that I had this gift of, I would say the same thing, only louder, in an attempt to get him to agree with me. How about being called out by that? Tell me that's not integrity. I learned something that day. And what it comes down to is, like a lot of things in our lives, is practice. Practice, practice. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. if you're wondering if you're speaking with integrity, start trying it on smaller things and then grow from there. Because, see, we live in a world that it used to be they were an hour solution, right? TV shows were an hour. Problems would all get solved in an hour. It was wonderful. Then it got down to 30 minutes. 21 if you take away the commercials. And now we're down to somewhere between 60 seconds and 5 minutes, because that's all that our attention span will allow us to watch on one of the video channels or, you know, apps that are on our phone or device. So we're expecting all these things to get fixed that quickly. I'm here to tell you it doesn't usually work that way. Every now and then a miracle does happen and something changes quickly, but it usually requires conversation and time with each other. So don't let that dissuade you when it doesn't get fixed immediately. And it's taking that time to take that step back. Think about your guiding scripture. Think about what the issue really is, not what the issue that's being presented to you is. And what I want you to do, and we're going to go back to grade school. Here's how one of the things I want you to try as you're talking to someone. Ask yourself these three questions. Lisa, you can tell me if these are accurate. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? It's so simple. So when you start off your conversation with someone in your first day, you have to ask yourself, is what I'm saying is true? Now, just because you found it on the internet does not mean it's true, okay? I know. Yahoo News is not a good source. Is it necessary? In other words, by bringing it up, does it add or subtract from the conversation? Or is it being used to just quietly attack someone or stab them a little bit? Is it necessary that you even bring it up? The third one, is it kind? Here's the struggle I have with is it kind. I'll go right to it. Sometimes the thing I'm going to say, it may be true, it may be necessary, but it's not going to sound kind to that person when I say it, because they don't want to hear it. So I prefer to think of this as find a way to say it with love, find a way to say it with kindness, because sometimes you are going to need to say things that the other person will look at you and not feel that you're being kind with them. And so I was trying to find a great way to say this, and there's quotes out there. It's amazing. This is what Lisa Prosen describes that as. There will be people that expect you to sugarcoat your truth so they don't have to feel uncomfortable hearing it. Speak the truth anyway. A little bit of discomfort to bring someone the guidance, the integrity that they need to hear is worth the effort. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it is something that you can do. Don't be unkind. Don't be mean. Like I said, don't use that to attack someone. Speak the truth, and think of it this way, with compassion. Approach it from the standpoint, read the Gospels and the things that Jesus said. Within all, or most of, was compassion. Sometimes when he was going against the Sadducees and the Pharisees, didn't hear that compassion much, but his compassion was for the people, not for the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the rules that they were laying down. When I was reviewing for this talk, came across a gentleman by the name of Julian Treasure, and he spoke at TED Global back in 2013. And he uses the acronym HAIL, H-A-I-L, to guide us as we're having conversations with others. And even though this was written for a secular audience, making it scriptural and biblical is rather straightforward, because what Julian pointed out was, number one, speak with honesty. Be clear and straight what you're talking about. Don't use things that are going to violate what is true. Approach it from a standpoint of what is fact, what is honest. But then he talked about authenticity. Be yourself. As a good friend, John Reisman, told me once, Bob, just be yourself, just not too much. So when you're yourself, make sure you're tempering that for your audience. You're approaching it in a way that you shine through and who you are is shining through. It talks about integrity, which is the what we're talking about this morning. You know, being true to your word and staying true to your word. And the last one he mentions, the letter L, is love. Wish them well. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you look at those, tell me that that's not what Christ called us to do when we're in conversation with others. So as we look at being in integrity and being connected when we're speaking, there are times where that's going to be a challenge, where you're not going to be ready. The person that's hearing it isn't going to be ready. When you're in a situation where it's group against group, they may not hear that integrity shining through. And what I've seen in the United Methodist Church as we're addressing this question of how we move forward as a denomination, you see that small conversations, one-on-one or a few people with a few people, tend to work better than group against group. And so that's one of the observations and suggestions I'll make. Keep it small at first. And that's what Matthew 18 guides us to do. Start one-on-one, and then you go to the next level if that doesn't achieve the goal. And so as you're in conversation with others, speaking with integrity, there are going to be times where they may not agree that you are. And if you can look at what you're saying and the approach you're using and saying, it's true, it's necessary, and I am speaking it with kindness, though it may not come through that way, and you look at honesty, authenticity, integrity, and love, the love of Christ, keep speaking those words. It's not going to happen the first conversation. If it does, that's a wonderful miracle. But if it doesn't, don't give up. Keep trying. I'm going to close with this quote from Don Miguel Ruiz, and he tells us this: be impeccable with your words. Speak with integrity. Say only what you mean. Avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others. Use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. Throughout this conversation, throughout speaking with integrity, love needs to be part of the conversation. You can be 100% right, but without love, you're lacking what you need so that the other person can see that connection you're making with them. It's not just about being right. It is about truly caring about the other person. And if we can do that, if we can show that, speaking with integrity now is not the end all. It is part of a process to connect with that person in a bigger way. And so your challenge this week, and this one's a real challenge. Number one, go back and re-memorize your verse. So it's a two-part challenge. But number two, one of those conversations that you're not allowed to have at family gatherings, or there's a person you refuse to talk to about a given subject, usually it's politics related, sit down one-on-one with that person after you have planned how you're going to speak with integrity and have that conversation out of love. It may not change the relationship, but you have a better chance of moving forward with that relationship if you at least take that step. Love them and speak with integrity. Please join me in prayer. Amazing God, words don't always fall off our lips as eloquently as we would like. Sometimes we actually speak words to hurt, to anger, to attack. Jesus gave us the guide, showed us how to speak with integrity and with love. May all who are here today and those who are not, may we follow that guidance as we're in conversation with others. May we speak with integrity and with the love of Jesus. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.